when you hear this.
This is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
Do you believe in miracles? I certainly do. God is a God of might and miracles. But let me ask you, is there a danger in miracles? There is. Adrian Rogers wrote a book years ago, the late great Adrian Rogers, my hero in the ministry, wrote a book, and it was entitled Believe in Miracles, but Trust in Jesus. And that is our focus today on Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart Ministries is a national and international radio and television ministry, and it is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Believe in miracles, but trust in Jesus. What does that really mean? Well, we know in the ministry of the Lord Jesus, He performed so many miracles. John says, as he ends up his gospel, he said, if we wrote and recorded all the things that Jesus said and did, the world couldn't contain the books that were written. You know, when you read the gospels and you read the accounts of Jesus teaching and healing, he would teach all day and he would heal all the sick people that came to him. He would cast out demons. The scripture says in the book of Matthew chapter 11, when John the Baptist, who incidentally didn't do any miracles, God didn't have him do any, when he was arrested by Herod, he started to have doubts in prison because he was thinking that maybe I missed this, maybe I misunderstood. And so he sent his disciples to Jesus, and they asked this question from John, are you the expected one, or should we look for someone else? Jesus answered and said to them, go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who keeps from stumbling over me. Jesus was quoting back from the book of Isaiah that said when the Messiah comes, these things will accompany his ministry, and these will be present when he comes. And Jesus was doing all those things. And so Jesus was telling the disciples of John and going back to John, hey, I am the one. Now, the problem that John has, a problem that everybody had, they felt like when Messiah comes, his coming is to take over. They read all the prophecies in the Old Testament, and Messiah rules and reigns. He rules with the rod of iron, and Israel will no longer be the tail. It will be the head. And they got confused on the comings. They didn't see that there was a first coming of the Lord. They didn't understand Isaiah 53, that he was coming as the suffering servant. He was going to be pierced for our transgressions. They thought he's coming to rule and to reign. And so when that didn't happen, they were just like disillusioned. You know, you wonder how on Palm Sunday Jesus can come into the city and everybody is, hail him, Hosanna, Hosanna. And then by the end of the week, they're saying, nail him, not this man, but Barabbas. What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? Pilate asked. And they said, let him be crucified. How do you go in just a few short days from hail him to nail him? Well, the reason that happened and one of the things that fueled that is they thought Jesus was going to take over. He is the Messiah. Messiah takes over. And Jesus didn't do that. And so they were disillusioned. They said, this man must not be the Messiah. Let him be crucified. Obviously, the devil was pushing all that, and the religious leaders were pushing all that with the people. But here's the point. John was struggling, and Jesus reminded him of the miracles. And the miracles point the way to Jesus. In the Gospel of John, he uses the word signs. He has seven key signs in the Gospel of John, and the Greek word is simeon, and those signs point the way to Jesus. They're miracles with a message. And so you believe in miracles. Yes, Jesus did these miracles. But you don't trust in the miracle, you trust in Jesus. And the point of the miracle was to point the way to Jesus. Now, interesting, the enemies of Jesus, the religious leaders, by and large, were all enemies of Jesus. Now, some of them came to faith in Christ. Nicodemus, in John chapter 3, he was truly seeking the Lord. God was working in his heart, obviously, and we have reason to believe, John 19, he is there with Joseph of Arimathea. They ask for the body of Jesus, and he and Joseph prepare the body of Jesus. He becomes a disciple of Jesus. So not every single religious leader was against Jesus, but by and large they were. But here's the thing, they had trouble with the miracles. Why? Because you couldn't explain those away. When a blind man receives sight, you can't explain that away. In Acts chapter 3 and 4, when Peter does a miracle with a man that was lame, and he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, arise and walk. And immediately the man's legs were strengthened, and this guy who had been lame from birth is now walking and leaping and praising God. Interestingly, in that story, they arrest Peter and John because they use that miracle to begin to preach Jesus. And so the religious leaders arrest him, and they say this when they have their little secret council after they interrogate Peter, and Peter just calls them out. You crucified the Messiah, but God raised him up again, and God has made this Jesus both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. That is the message that he gives them. He is strong in calling them out on their sin. Well, they take Peter and John, and they put them out of their assembly, and they say, a noteworthy miracle has taken place, and we cannot deny it. Isn't that interesting? Why would you want to deny a noteworthy miracle? The religious leaders could not deny the miracles. They never tried to deny the miracles because they knew that was futile. So what did they do with the miracles? They said, Matthew chapter 12, this man casts out demons by Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons. They had to explain the power somehow. They couldn't say the power came from God because then Jesus came from God, and then they would be forced to say Jesus is the Messiah. He is the one sent from God. See, Nicodemus said that, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher sent from God, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him. You can't explain that away. And so Nicodemus was honest enough to say that. No one can do what you do unless God is with him. But the other religious leaders, they said, no, he casts out demons by Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons. Here's the thing about miracles. Jesus performed so many miracles, and you would think, okay, well, everybody's going to believe in Jesus because he performed so many miracles. And this is John's summation of his ministry. But though Jesus had performed so many signs before the people, yet they were not believing in him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this cause they could not believe. Hey, he had done so many miracles, but they would not believe. So when you get to the place, when you refuse to believe, when you would not believe, then you could not believe. Or in their case, they would not believe, then they could not believe. miracles are there, given by God, done by God, really in the ministry of the Lord Jesus, in the ministry of the early days of the church, miracles, many, many miracles. As you get further along in the life of the church, you don't see as many miracles. Why? Because miracles are a sign. They authenticate the message. They authenticate the messenger. Jesus did miracles to show that he is the Messiah. The early church and the apostles were given the power to do miracles. Why? To show that the message that they were preaching is authentic. It was from God. No one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him. But once you have the Word of God, miracles are not needed because miracles have a purpose. Now, remember this about miracles. Miracles are a supernatural work of God. I just saw the movie over the weekend, Top Gun Maverick. And if you haven't seen Top Gun Maverick, man, it is some kind of movie. It's an edge of your seat kind of experience. And it's even better than the first one that came out in, I think it was 1986. Tom Cruise, although he's a wacko, he is a great actor and an incredible guy for his age. I think he's 58 or 59 years old, and he still looks wonderful. But in the movie, I'm losing my place here in my illustration. There's something about Maverick that I wanted to say, but now I can't think of it. Anyway, believe in miracles, trust in Jesus, and miracles can deceive you. Oh, here's what I was going to say. They said in Maverick, there were two miracles in their mission. They had to get through this really tight corridor, and their plane's flying at, you know, a zillion miles an hour, and then blow up this, I don't know what it was, some kind of cover, and we got it. That's the first miracle, and the second miracle, then we got to hit it with another bomb and blow up this uranium plant. Those aren't miracles. They do those. Obviously, it's a movie. They do those in the movie, but those aren't miracles because those can be explained naturally. I mean, it might be a one shot in a thousand, but it's not a miracle. A miracle is the Red Sea parting. That doesn't ever happen. A miracle is manna coming down from heaven. That doesn't ever happen. A miracle is water from the rock. That doesn't ever happen. A miracle is Jesus taking a man born blind and giving him sight. That doesn't ever happen. That is a miracle. Now, we pray for things in life. God, will you answer this prayer? Will you do this for me? Will you provide a job for me? Will you work in this situation? Well, God is a God who answers prayer. And hey, I got a job. It was a miracle. Well, it wasn't really a miracle. It was an answer to prayer. And God works through the natural things in life. And then he also does supernatural things. And so when God works in the natural, we say, praise God, he answered my prayer. God knows what's going on in my life. God is the God who listens. God is the God who answers prayer. And that's a wonderful thing. But don't confuse that with a miracle. A miracle is something that is totally impossible. There is no way this can happen unless God intervenes and God breaks the laws of science, and he breaks the laws of nature, and he does something that makes absolutely no sense. That was Jesus' whole ministry, and it was just miracle after miracle after miracle. Who can speak to the wind and the waves and say, hush, be still, and immediately it becomes perfectly calm? Nobody can do that except God. That's why the disciples said in Mark chapter 4, when he calmed the sea, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey his voice? It was a miracle with a message to show that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He is the Messiah. Very interesting. The second time there was a storm at sea, Jesus was walking on the water. And you remember Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come to you on the water. And he said, come. And Peter walked on the water. And when they got back into the boat, They worshiped him and said, "Of a truth, you are the Son of God." They weren't asking, "Who then is this?" They knew this is God, and they worshiped him. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're talking about miracles. Believe in miracles, but trust in Jesus and in his word. We're going to take a quick break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
So there's this couple named Kyle and Katie, and they were excited. They were expecting their third child. And then they got some really bad news. Their unborn baby desperately needed surgery in utero. They had switched the way they pay their healthcare bills from health insurance to MediShare. So they were wondering, is this going to work?
It's a life, and it's my son's life. And, you know, we should all be doing anything we can for that.
Kyle knew they were looking at a mountain of medical bills.
And of that, I had to pay almost nothing.
We felt like MediShare was rallying behind us, almost like family.
MediShare is a community of Christians who care about people like Kyle and Katie and little Liam, who is now a happy little boy who loves to play outside with his brother and sister.
You know, Liam's around because of that.
We'll always remember.
Find out how you can save $500 a month or more on your healthcare. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
This is Jan Mark Hill. Next on Understanding the Times Radio, I talk to pastors Mark Hitchcock and author Jeff Kinley about the global reset. Is this just a foolish and failing scheme by a bunch of deranged globalists? Or is this the predicted tribulation time outlined in the book of Revelation? Listen and learn next on Understanding the Times Radio.
Saturday afternoon at 1 Central and Sunday afternoon at noon Central on American Family Radio. Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
Emmy was in a bad relationship when she found out she was pregnant. Her boyfriend told her to get an abortion, which she seriously considered.
I knew that if I got an abortion, a part of me would be broken.
Emmy went to a preborn center in need of guidance.
They honestly were able to put every fear at ease and let me know that it was going to be okay. Because of them, he's here. I couldn't imagine my life without him.
Preborn clinics introduce moms in crisis to their babies through ultrasound while providing hope, love, and the gospel in action. When an expectant mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, she's 80% more likely to choose life for her baby. To find out more, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby. Your love can save a life.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're talking about miracles, and we're talking about stealing the title from Adrian Rogers' book, Believe in Miracles, but Trust in Jesus. It is so important that we understand the difference between the two. God is a God of might and miracles, but we don't trust in miracles. We trust in Jesus, and we trust in his word, and we don't seek after miracles. Jesus said, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign." The Jews, if you read in the Gospels, you'll find that they ask Jesus, "Show us a sign, and we'll believe in you. Show us a sign." Interesting. John chapter 6 records the feeding of the 5,000. 5,000 men plus women and children, probably 20,000 plus people that he fed with a little kid's lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fish. Don't get confused. 5 crackers and 2 sardines. It's a snack lunch. You know, if you think of five loaves, it's like, good grief. The guy had five loaves of bread and two fish, and he's a kid. That's enough to feed a lot of people. No, five very small little crackers and two fish, very small. And Jesus fed the multitudes with that. And it was a great miracle. It's the greatest miracle as far as people involved, that people experience that miracle, the greatest that is done in the Gospels, and it's recorded in all four, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But in the same chapter, John chapter 6, they come to Jesus the next day and says, "What?" They say to him, "What sign do you do that we should believe in you?" And they said, "Well, Moses, he fed the people with manna from heaven." And they were hinting around, said, "Jesus, you know, you fed us yesterday, but we've slept since then, and it would be wonderful if you could make breakfast." And they were trying to goad him into another miracle so that we can believe in you. He performed so many miracles, as John said in John chapter 12, so many signs before them, yet they would not believe in him. They just wanted to see another sign, another sign, another sign, another sign. Signs are given for a purpose. Signs point the way to Jesus so that we would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Very interesting. We said that there's a danger with signs, a danger with attesting miracles, because the devil can do those. Now, he can't do what Jesus does, and he never does miracles to heal. He's not going to do a miracle to cast out a demon. That's what they accused Jesus of. This man casts out demons by Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons. And Jesus said, "Well, that doesn't even make sense. A house divided can't stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, his house is divided. How then will his kingdom stand?" And so he said, in their explanation, it was illogical and ridiculous. But now, this is what the scripture says, Revelation chapter 13. It's talking about the coming of the Antichrist and the reign of the Antichrist. And the Antichrist is just that. He's anti-Jesus. He's anti-Christ, against Christ, and instead of Christ. I'm presenting myself, I'm against the Son of God, but I present myself as the Messiah. So he's both of those things. And just as Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit, the Antichrist is helped by the false prophet, who is the false Holy Spirit. And it says this about the false prophet called the second beast. "And I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon." Hey, he looks like a lamb, but he's not. He's really a dragon. Look past the mascara and the makeup, and this is who he really is. "And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence." The first beast is the Antichrist. "And he makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose fatal wound was healed." He has some kind of fake resurrection. And he is the false Holy Spirit. And he says, "Hey, worship the Antichrist, worship the beast." "And he performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which it was given him to perform in the presence of the beast." He deceives them with signs. Simeon. Same word that John uses. It's an attesting miracle. And so he does this sign in the sky, this miracle in the sky, and people say, "Well, that it has to be from God. Look at that miracle. We can't deny this miracle." And just as the religious leaders in Jesus' day said, "Well, that miracle came from Satan," and they got it 180 degrees wrong, in the day of the beast and in the tribulation period, they're going to see miracles and say, "Well, this has to be from God." And the devil uses those to deceive those who dwell on the earth. That's why we believe in miracles, but we trust in Jesus. And we have to take every experience and relate it to the Word of God. There was a musical group years ago called Farrell and Farrell, and they had a song called "You've Got to Find It in the Word." We have people today in churches that put their faith and trust in experiences. You don't put your faith and trust in experiences. You put your faith and trust in Jesus and His Word. Remember what real faith is. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We don't put faith in experiences and trust in experiences. We put our faith and trust in the Lord and in His Word. And don't ever get caught up in the trap of chasing an experience with the Lord. Now, something that's very important. Yesterday, I had on my dear friend, Sean Breedlove. I've known Sean for over 40 years. He discipled me in college, and he and his wife, Deanne, so sweet. They shared the story of their son, Ben, and Ben went home to heaven when he was 18 years old, died on Christmas Day, 2011, and Ben had an experience that he related to his parents and relayed to his parents, I'm sorry, and he told them, hey, I almost died just a few weeks before his actual death. He had a near-death experience, and in that near-death experience, he said he had an experience in heaven, in the waiting room of heaven. Now, was that a vision? Was that a dream? I don't know. It was an experience that he had, an experience that really changed him, an experience that took away all his fear of death. Now, Ben was a believer in the Lord Jesus, and Ben was used by God in this experience to make a difference in the lives of many people. At his funeral, he had 1,500 people there, and 58,000 people watched online. His little video that he shared, which wasn't like a Billy Graham crusade by any means at all, he just mentions, do you believe in God and in angels and in God? I sure do. And he shares about how he had this overwhelming peace and this desire to go to heaven that was so strong. And he wasn't afraid of death because he knew where he was going. Well, God used that not in the lives of Christians, because we as Christians, we struggle with this. Like, hey, I don't know where to put this. But he used it in the lives of non-Christians as almost pre-evangelism, as a way to say, hey, you need to check into this because everyone's going to die. And Sean told me yesterday when I was talking to him yesterday afternoon, he said David Brenner, who was a well-known comedian back in the day, appeared on Johnny Carson, hosted, I think, for Johnny Carson. David Brenner's wife contacted Sean and Deanne and said that I believe she was Jewish, but that video of Ben really spoke to her and touched her, and she wanted to find out more. She ended up becoming a Christian because of that. God used something that was way out of the box, not for the Christian community, but for the non-Christian community. And it wasn't a strong, here's how you come to Jesus. It was pre-evangelism. It was something that said, hey, there is something beyond the grave, and there is a real place called heaven, and you need to find out how to go there. So we believe in miracles, but we trust in Jesus, and we trust in His Word. You hear people oftentimes say, well, you know, we read in the book of Acts, how do people get the Holy Spirit? Well, somebody lays hands on them, and then they receive the Holy Spirit. It happens after they believe, and then the telltale sign, you speak in tongues. And if you don't have that progression where you believe, and then you have someone lay hands on you, and then you speak in tongues, then you didn't receive the Holy Spirit. Here's the problem with that. The book of Acts describes what happened with the coming of the Holy Spirit. Acts is descriptive. The epistles are prescriptive. They tell us what we are to do in the church. If you get descriptive material and you put it in the prescriptive side, and you say, well, this is what happened to them, so therefore that must happen to everybody. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says this is what happened to them. With the initial coming of the Holy Spirit, He came first to the Jews, then to the Samaritans, then to the Gentiles, Cornelius, Acts chapter 10. So Acts 2, Acts 8 comes to the Samaritans. Acts 10 comes to the Gentiles. Acts 19, He comes to the disciples of John, some stragglers, and they all have the same experience. But then we don't read about that anymore. We read in Ephesians chapter 1, in him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of the glory of his grace. How does a person receive the Holy Spirit? When you receive Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit. He comes. You're baptized by Christ in the Holy Spirit. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. And we're sealed in the Holy Spirit. The Bible never tells us to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Bible never tells us to be sealed in the Holy Spirit. To some people, the Bible tells us to believe on Jesus. And when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, those things happen. They just happen immediately. And we don't have to wait for the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit hadn't been given until the day of Pentecost. And so don't confuse descriptive material in the Bible with prescriptive teaching material, because we learn how to operate in the church from the epistles, not so much from the story in the book of Acts as the coming of the Holy Spirit is relayed to us, and the history of what happened. Descriptive material is descriptive. Prescriptive material tells us this is how it is done on a regular basis in the church. So those two things are critical. And you do have to find it in the Word, because if it doesn't match up with the Word of God, you have to take it with a grain of salt. And when someone shares their experience with you, you know, it's like, okay, I don't know if that happened to you or it didn't happen to you. I just know that I'm not seeking after an experience. I'm not seeking after a sign, because an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. I'm not seeking after that. I'm seeking after the Lord Jesus, and I'm seeking to have a deeper relationship with him. Johnny Erickson Tada is one of my heroes in the faith. I have a interview schedule with her in August. She's writing a book right now, and her person there said, well, she can meet with you in August. Well, she says this, you know, she prayed for a miracle. She broke her neck and she's in a wheelchair. So she's a quadriplegic in a wheelchair. She prayed for a miracle. God, heal me. That would be such a great miracle. Well, God didn't answer that prayer, but God gives her strength and grace every day to live the Christian life in a difficult situation. Stuck in a wheelchair, as a quadriplegic in a wheelchair. His grace is sufficient for us. We would love to have the miracle. No doubt Johnny would have loved to have the miracle of God heals me and my neck is healed and I'm walking and leaping and praising God just like the guy in Acts chapter 3. But God said, I'm going to do a greater work in you. I'm going to give you strength. I'm going to give you joy and peace so that you can show to the world this is the difference that Jesus makes, where you can rejoice and praise him and have a fruitful life filled with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, even in the wheelchair. Now that is a work of God that blows everybody away. And that has more power than if God were to have healed Johnny back when she was 17, 18 years old and first broke her neck. And God does that for us. Now, we're going to be taking your calls as we get ready to enter into the third segment. The number to call is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. We're talking about believe in miracles, because God is a God of might and miracle, but trust in Jesus. And real faith is rooted in the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And faith is believing God, to walk by faith and not by sight. We believe him even when we can't see it. We believe him. Why? Because he promised. And we hold to the promises of God, and we cling to the promises of God. And one of my favorite promises, Psalm 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord. That means to make yourself soft and pliable in the hands of the Lord. And as you do that, his promise to you is I will give you the desires of your heart. How does that work? Well, when you're soft and pliable in the hands of the Lord, you let him change your heart. You let him mold your heart. You let him do things in you. You go in his way. You don't fight him anymore. And as you do that, you'll find that God does give you the desires of your heart, because he changes the desires of your heart to be in line with his will. And this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. So call 1-888-589-8840. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. Don't go away.
The AFA Resource Center has all your favorite items. Everything from books, movies, shirts, and even hats. Introducing AFA's polyester and twill hats, starting at just $18. Whether you're into fashion, a collector, or you're just having a bad hair day, these hats are just what you need. You can buy one for yourself or a friend. Purchase your AFA hat today at resources.afa.net.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe that our ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on earth, belongs to God, and our role is that of a trusted manager.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
In churches, and a lot of churches today, the issue of identity is sort of like the big elephant in the room. It's in the news, but it's not in the church. So if it's in society, it needs to be something the churches are addressing.
In His Image, delighting in God's plan for gender and sexuality, is now available for church screenings and events.
Every person in America needs to see this.
And all pastors need to show this to the church, get the people informed. If the church and Jesus isn't the answer, where's the world going?
We want the message of the film to touch as many hearts and lives as possible, and we'd love to join with you to bring the film to your community. So let's say you have a small group or your church, or we've even been bringing the film into some prisons. We want to partner with you. So what we'll do is we'll send you a special kit, and it's completely free, and it'll just have some extra resources to help you promote your event.
To find out more about how to host an event, go to inhisimage.movie and click on the Host an Event tab. That's inhisimage.movie.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman.
Here in the foundation, we help families just like yours to shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Riley has served as the director of the AFA Foundation for over a decade.
A charitable gift annuity is a gift to American Family Association. Not only are you giving to the Lord's work, but you'll receive a lifetime income and excellent tax benefits.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years, while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. A charitable gift annuity benefits you and helps ensure the AFA will impact America for generations to come.
Give us a call today at 800-326-4543. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. You can find out more about From His Heart Ministries by going to fromhisheart.org. We have lots of sermon materials and free materials there and resources to help you grow in the Lord, fromhisheart.org. And I'd love for you to follow me on Twitter, at Jeff Shreve, J-E-F-F-S-C-H-R-E-V-E. Well, we're taking your calls in this segment. The number to call is 888-589-8840. And we have Venus on the line from Virginia. Venus, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, and so I had a story I'd like to share with you, if I
okay.
may.
It, sure.
I was raised kind of in a church, And I had a reverence for the church and never understood the fear of the Lord part. But as a young adult, I, of course, went away and became the prodigal daughter. And so when I came back, I wanted everything he promised. And so I got busy studying his word, and I began going to different churches to see if I could feel his spirit, because I knew he was a living, breathing body. And I knew that innately, but I had I didn't have any mind consciousness of it. So as I began to read his word and understand that it is truly a relationship and not a religion, I began to seek all he had for me. I was a greedy little girl. I wanted to be the teacher's pet. I just wanted it all. And so as I began, I went to a Pentecostal church also, and Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalian, even visited a Catholic. But I kind of liked the Pentecostal because they really did seem to enjoy the Lord. And so that was appealing. Well, when they started introducing the gifts were very important to me, but the fruit was the part that was so important. And I couldn't quite get my mind around that, but off I went. And so I began seeking the gifts. I wanted all the gifts. Well, I had to labor over the fruit in order to even understand what the gifts were. And so years into it, I began saying, well, the gifts aren't that important. If I don't get speaking in tongues, or if I don't get healing hands. But then the Lord chastened me, and he said, you seek me. I'll give you what I need you to have at any given moment. I am. And I said, okay. So I kind of left it alone for a minute, and then I went back and I was seeking the gift of tongues. Now, I was seeking it because in my mind, I had put that on a pedestal as if that was the end all do all. And so anyway, I went to a conference, and I won't mention the minister's name, but it was a powerful conference. And they mentioned, if you want to receive the gift of tongues, please come down front. Well, I went. Now, everyone got it but me. I didn't understand that. So I went home, cried the whole way home. And then I get home, and my friend, who did not want any of the gifts, said she didn't want gift of tongues especially, because she didn't know about that, didn't understand it at all. The Lord had given it to her over the weekend because she was in despair. She was in complete and total and utter despair, crying out to the Lord, and it just bubbled up in her to pray for her, through her, and with her. And she knew it completely. So when I got there, she told me, I was so mad. I was so mad. So I went before the Father, and I said, Father, what is this? He said, you keep seeking the gifts instead of the giver. Seek me, and I will give you all things. So I stopped. I just stopped and said, okay, Father, I submit it to you. I don't understand all this, so your ways are higher than my ways, and I'm going to follow you. So since then, not only do I have a prayer language, but I have healing hands. I have whatever the Holy Spirit needs me to have at any given moment, as long as I'm a willing vessel, yielded and obedient to him. And it's a powerful thing. It ain't got nothing to do with me personally. It has to do with his hurting children in this world, for people like me that want to love him and serve him, to be used by him and be his feet, be his shoulder, be his hand that reaches out. And so it's just a powerful thing that you're doing. And I want to thank you for giving us an opportunity to explore it more.
Amen. Well, thank you, Venus. Thank you for sharing. I love what you said about you seek the giver, not the gift. And, you know, Christians can disagree on tongues. You know, in the book of Acts, tongues was a known language. I don't know anybody who says, well, I have the ability to speak languages I've never studied before that others can understand. Typically, it's going to be somebody that says, well, God gave me a prayer language, which no one can understand. But in the book of Acts, when Acts chapter 2, hey, we hear them speaking in our native tongue the great deeds of God. And so people can disagree on that, but what you said is so true. Seek the giver, not the gift. Believe in miracles, but trust in Jesus and seek his face and seek his heart. Seek him continually, as the scripture says. The promise we have in scripture, Jeremiah 29:13, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So I thank you so much for listening, Venus, and for calling in today. We have Gary on the line from Ohio. Gary, welcome to Real Truth for today.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. I just turned 900 months old. And I had something on my heart to tell you. Franklin Delano Roosevelt was a Christian, and he said a prayer back in 1944 because of D-Day, and that was June 6th. And if you want to tell your friends on the radio, and thank you for your ministry over the radio, tell the people to bring up Franklin Delano's prayer. He was the president. And it will move you because he definitely had the spirit, and I think it would it moved me, and I've been a Christian since '66 after the Vietnam War. I fall over there, but I just wanted to share that I thank you for your ministry on the radio. I listen to it all the time.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that, Gary. You want to share with our listeners what the prayer was?
He was talking about God's love and God's hope, and that we all have to do God's will, and he will prevail in our lives if we just seek him, and we will get peace and the hope of life everlasting in our Holy Spirit when we pass on. Our spirit goes to heaven, and we can join our family and friends and just have, we don't want the other side of things, but God gives us hope, Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So if we follow his word in the Bible and his teachings and what has been written, I think, they'll get a big thing out of President Roosevelt back if they listen to that.
Yeah, very good. Well, thank you so much, Gary, for your kind words, and thank you for calling in today. God bless you, my brother. I appreciate that. Well, as Gary said, obviously the most important thing in all of life is to secure your eternity. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He rose again from the dead to make a way where there was no way. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That covers everybody. Every child of Adam is a sinner. And the wages of sin is death, not just physical death, but spiritual death, eternal death. What does the Bible call hell? This is the second death, the lake of fire. And Jesus came, died for our sins, rose again from the dead. And he said, if you will believe on me and put your faith and trust in me, then you will pass out of death into life. All your sins will be accounted for and paid for because you put your faith and trust in me. And you can know for certain that you have eternal life. And that is the key thing. Now, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day. On what day? Judgment day. Lord, Lord. Now watch. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? We preached in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. Well, good night. You were preaching in the name of the Lord. You were casting out demons in the name of the Lord. You were performing many miracles in the name of the Lord. Surely you're believers. And then I will declare to them, Matthew 7:23, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You know who preached in the Lord's name? You know who cast out demons in the Lord's name? You know who performed miracles in the Lord's name? Judas. Judas, one of the 12. Judas the betrayer. He did all of that. And Jesus said it would have been better if that man had never been born. Depart from me, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. Hey, believe in miracles, but trust in Jesus. And don't seek the gifts, seek the giver, seek his face continually, and you'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Well, we have Kathleen on the line from Mississippi. Kathleen, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, Pastor Jeff. God bless you. We listen to you every day.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome. I'm calling to tell you about God's protection and his love. My husband is 76. He's disabled, so he's in the bed, and he doesn't get up unless you help. And I'm 74. Ida came through Louisiana. We were living in Louisiana, and right where we were, the eye of the storm came over. Tornadoes were around, and my trailer that we were living in was destroyed. I was on top of the Holy Spirit told me to get on top of my husband in his hospital bed, and I did that, and we rode out the storm. We got to see exactly what it looked like from the inside, and it was the peace of the Lord with us before, through, and after. And he has been a blessing to us. Just, you know, just awesome, awesome. Mm. Not just for just that, but just so many other ways he's protected. And he's blessed us so much. We're now in Mississippi, and we're all renting a half a house in a peaceful neighborhood. God's awesome. We just wanted to share that. If anybody wants to trust in something, trust in Jesus.
Amen. What a great testimony. Thank you, Kathleen. Thank you for calling in. And God is, he is it. History is his story, and everything is about Jesus. The Bible is all about Jesus. He is the hero of the Bible. The question of all questions for every single human being, it was uttered by Pontius Pilate, an unbeliever, but it is the question of life. What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? Are you going to crown him as Lord or crucify him? Are you going to hail him or nail him? Are you going to receive him or reject him? Are you going to embrace him or ignore him? What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? And life is all about giving your heart to Jesus, letting him live through you. That's what you were made for. I think it was Augustine that said, Lord, we were made for you, and we'll never find rest until our heart rests in you. In every human heart, as Blaise Pascal said, there is a God-shaped vacuum. You can try and fill that hole, that vacuum in your heart with drugs, with alcohol, with sex, with promotion and money and success. It's never going to fill it. The only thing that fills that God-shaped hole in your heart is God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh. And when you give your heart and life to him, he gives his life to you. Christianity, salvation, is the great exchange. You give all you know of you to all you know of Jesus, and he gives himself to you, and he saves you. He justifies you, saves you in your spirit. He sanctifies you, works in your mind, will, and emotions, in your soul. And then one day he glorifies you. He takes away your body of sin, and he gives you a body like his, a glorified body. Well, you've been listening today to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. Thank you so much for being with me today. Tomorrow we're going to talk a great testimony from a good friend of mine whose life has been transformed by the grace and power of the Lord Jesus. I know it's going to be a blessing to you. Hey, remember the two words, shine and share. Shine for Christ this day and share what great things the Lord has done for you and how he's had mercy on you. and I'll be back again with you tomorrow. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Faith, family, freedom. American Family Radio.